Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our exercise was, what were the most important steps that brought you to where you are today? Don't get bogged down by most important. Record and listen. All right, here's our first caller, Sherry.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine.
Hello, Jodine.
Hey, Jodine. Good morning. That's so funny. I thought, I'm probably going to be the first person called on today. isn't that funny how
intuition is alive and well?
Yeah, you get that little message. Anyhow, I feel a little bit unfocused. I didn't sleep very well at all last night and felt like, oh my God, I can't be in the queue. So just looking at this assignment, which I'm still in, the assignments in the workbook that I've done before, because I did pick up this workbook a number of years ago and start it and not finish. But I didn't look at what I did before. I just, you know,
Good.
Started fresh.
That's right. Because that was then and this is now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I ended up doing is that I just kind of wrote in a stream of consciousness, like not even really any verbs, just, places, people, processes actually too. And I guess what I got out of it, was number one, a sense of how karma wrote my life, if
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just seeing it in these kind of broad strokes.
That karma was informing each step along the path.
Right, right. I saw an interesting pattern that I hadn't really noticed before. A process that keeps like happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of got to this idea that everyone every human life is like this. You know, every human could just kind of off the cuff, like write down this kind of stream of consciousness and transcribe a life. And so it's almost like I just had this sense of like sharing it, like shared humanity. Like I'm participating
yes.
in this shared experience.
Yes. And a piece that I would like to add to it, Jodine, is that each step, so I'm born of karma, I'm heir to karma, I am, that one. And so there we are. We can see the karma with each step. And what we don't realize, I think, as we're going along, is that what's actually happening is that we're seeing the karma. So,
good point.
Right? Yeah. And so for a long time, we suspect, I don't know this, but we could suspect, that we're living out karma and have no idea of anything. We call that unconscious, right? So it's just going along. Oh, this worked, that didn't. He likes me. Oh, they hate me. I didn't get that job. Okay. And there's no disidentification. There's no stepping back. There's no seeing patterns. There's no realizing, I've been that way in the last three situations that in my, you know, there's none of that. And so it's all kind of karma driven, but we move from unconsciously living out, and we could even say reinforcing karma, to moving into awareness practice where we're starting to see the karma from a larger place of awareness. And that, to me, is what you're pointing at with that feeling of shared humanity. So if we talk about this plane of existence, it does seem like as human critters, we are in a process of waking up somewhere along a continuum or somewhere along the path. We're all in the same process.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's a whisper. And then it seems, the volume seems to go up. I don't know if that's because of what you're saying. Like my experience is that the volume seems to be turned up. Like I'm hearing the message more and more.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah.
And
well,
maybe it is because of awareness practice.
You started us off that way. It dropped in. You had an intuitive sense that you were going to be the first person called on.
Yeah.
There it is. That is our best concrete day-by-day experience of the intelligence that animating us. And the more we tune into that, the more obvious it is. You could say the volume goes up. All right.
Yeah.
Fun, huh? And let's put to rest the idea that, I'm kind of foggy today because I didn't sleep well. Okay, not a problem.
Oh, great. Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jodine.
Thanks, Jodine. You know, Sherry, something you said a couple of months ago about it's all karma. And that we sometimes just look at the karma as something that we have to transcend rather than the current that is in the process of waking up through a series of, I don't know, patterns, right? Patterns of behavior, patterns of conditioning, patterns of socialization that have all come together to evolve in a certain way. In other words, that the events in our lives are what the pattern, are the pattern through which we wake up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That it's not bad. I mean, that not all karma is bad karma, right?
Oh, no.
Not, yeah. And that
that's
it's not
the,
that
that's
resistance.
That.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. I was going to talk about something else. Go ahead.
Well, just that it's part of that orientation of ego, that ego must be resisted, that we are somehow faulty for having one. But if it's all karma, then it's just a process of waking up.
Yes. And without the ego, how would you know which one of you was waking up?
That's right.
In that whole shared humanity kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's just so mysterious.
Yes. And this is the point that I always make at this juncture is, we have the Beatles to thank for the idea that all karma is bad. That karma is punishment rather than karma is just a word that we use for what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, shall we bring on our next caller, Sherry?
Oh, yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. My name is Carol. And
hi, Carol.
Hi, dear friend. Hi. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Lovely to hear yours. I haven't heard your voice in about 15 years.
Well, the young lad whose forehead you kissed as a toddler at the Unitarian Church here in Philadelphia is now 13.
Aha.
So that's the last time we were together.
Well, it's great to have you with us.
It's absolutely wonderful. And what the last caller, I agonized with her until I saw clearly what she saw and what you affirmed, the intelligence that animates. Sherry, I'm 88 years old, still going strong. My husband is no longer living, but I'm still very much involved in the household and the children, 11 and 13. Hello?
Yeah. No, I'm listening along.
And that awareness, I'm grateful that I have an awareness practice within the framework of the Sangha. I'm grateful that I awoke to needing that. It has been a joy.
And a joy, a support, an encouragement, a source of gratitude.
Gratitude. It is gratitude.
Whoops. Did you go away?
She dropped off, Sherry. Yeah, she dropped off.
All right. Well, maybe we'll find her again.
Well, if she comes back, I'll bring her on. So.
There she is.
Okay. Gratitude. And what was so exciting this morning was that I didn't know whether this was going to work. And my God, it did. And I cannot get over how thrilled I am that there you both are. And Ashwini, what a pleasure to become acquainted with you. What a source of wisdom. Not taking anything personally. I pass these things along to folks. That was so well. If I've read it once, I've read it six times. Just thank you for being. I'm so grateful, and I'm so.
We have so much to be grateful for, don't we?
Oh, I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you. I remember years ago when someone said to me, I don't know if you remember, but I came to meditation as a result of the death of my son. And someone said to me, have you ever meditated? And I said, well, I practice yoga, but I've never meditated. And the person said, well, maybe it's time. And I joined a group. And in that group, someone said, when Sherry Huber comes to Pittsburgh, you want to hear her. And when you spoke, all I could say was, of course, of course, of course, of course. So I remain forever, ever grateful. And how I got here is I was fortunate to listen to the video on the 2018, on the end of joy. And I thought, darn it. I'm going to join this one, and I'm so grateful I did. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We'll have lunch with you every day, okay?
Okay, do it. We will. Let's look forward
All right.
to it. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun, Sherry. Here's our next caller.
So I want to say one thing about that before we go on. Tuesday night on Open Air, I got to talk to Kevin in New Zealand. And, of course, it's the first time I talked to Kevin. So, you know, I assumed that he just joined us, right? And he's been with Sangha for 10 years. I just never got to talk to him, right? And this is the same thing. So, you know, there's like not that many people who know Carol at this point, right? But she's been part of our practice for years. And it's just, of course, warms my heart. I bet a lot of hearts. But to just take in how many of us there are. And that's just us, right? That's just our little Sangha. Because there are just people all over the world who are practicing the way we are. And it's a glorious thing. Yeah. Gratitude. Yes. Gratitude is the word.
All right. And you know what that brings up for me, Sherry, is it's that place of we are so conditioned to look at it. It's what we're doing in the retreat. It's how we look, right? How we look only includes how we look. And when something like that previous caller happens, right, where we see someone from New Zealand call in or someone who's been mm-hmm. part of Sangha for so long that it's not in our awareness because we don't interact, then mm-hmm. how we look changes, because how we look is not just through our lens, but through the lens of all. And if the lens includes all, there's such a lot that's not in our immediate awareness that is mm-hmm. always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just
always supporting us.
Yeah. It's what we don't see that sustains us, right? In some senses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of those where periodically you just want to stop, just slip into that space between the thoughts mm-hmm. and realize how big life is.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a little mm-hmm. tiny taste of how big life is and mm-hmm. how much is supporting us that we never think about on any given mm-hmm. day.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. A deep gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we hear from our next caller, Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. I'm really enjoying this retreat so far. It's really fun. I've looked a lot at the creative process and had assignments before, you know, oh, it's not about the product, it's about the process. And this time it's kind of a different level. Like I really believe it. Like, okay, mm-hmm. it's really about the how. It's not about how the drawing looks, and it's not about what the writing is like. So I've been able to do that with a lot of freedom, really mm-hmm. enjoying the permission, having the assignment to do something like that with complete freedom.
And, mm-hmm. Can I ask you something before you go on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and are you watching that process of, so I'm going to do the steps, and we're so trained to go to conditioned mind, right? So,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm going to do the steps. I'm going to figure that out, right? And then begin to watch it just drop in. Oh,
mm-hmm.
right. Oh, that's true. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. And we could say they're memories, but that's not the point, right? The point is they just appear.
What do you mean, memories? Memories?
Well, we could say, it was my third grade teacher who blah, blah, blah. And we could go down the road of these steps are memories. You know, it's something from out of the past But what we're doing with this retreat, the essential part is how that just appears for you, how it drops in for you.
While I'm doing the assignment.
Mm-hmm. Because then we get to see how that's happening all the time. Now I'm in the grocery store and it just drops in this thing that I went to the store to get that I was going to walk out without getting, you know, that one, or something mm-hmm. that I have been needing, but it wasn't on my list and it just drops in.
Hmm.
You know that? Yeah. So that's what we're tuning into with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking, yeah. So the thing that's during this process, I was watching just this complete enjoyment of this moment and this, you know, drawing a tree and looking at that. And then the flip side of that is kind of like, well, you can't do that in singing. You can't, you know, how are you going to apply that to that? It's kind of making this contest of like, well, oh yeah, you're really succeeding at this, but you can't do that in the thing you're working on right now, or, you know, this kind of, how are you going to do that in?
Yeah, and you know, Emily, the answer to that is, you're right, because I'm listening to you, negative voice in my head, and that's why I'm not being able to do it right now. So, sayonara, I'm going to go let life sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's this big. It's a big.
But you can see that, right?
Stuck place for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's got you in a conversation about what you can't do over there, then that is absolutely true. But the thing that's stopping you is the thing that you're attending to. It has nothing to do with singing. It has nothing to do with anything other than you're giving all of your attention to that negative voice, and so it's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really tired of that.
Well, that's good, because you know what happens when we get really tired of something? We stop. So that's very good.
It just feels completely made up. But
It does.
I mean, it is hard not to focus on the product when that performance is coming up, and it's like just it's trying to say, well, it does. The product does matter. The product does matter.
Well, Emily, here's the thing. Here's the thing about it. For you, it's focused on singing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I sing all the time. I don't think I'm a good singer. Nobody else thinks I'm a good singer. I don't care. I sing. Okay, so I don't have that relationship with singing. Probably most of the people, 99% of the people on this call, have no relationship with singing. They don't care. But that same process goes on for everybody all the time.
Yeah.
So whether it's a presentation or an email that you've got to write to a difficult client, or the product becomes the focus, the content becomes the focus for each of us with whatever we'll buy into. But the process of getting somebody to focus on the content instead of on the process, that's happening to everybody all the time, which is what we are turning around in this retreat. And what we have to get to is, I don't care about the performance. I care about ending suffering.
Yeah, I do.
But what we have to do is care more about ending suffering. Yeah.
So going around, I mean, going to, okay, well, here's where I'm free around drawing, focusing on that. But then when I'm singing, I kind of feel like I'm banging my head against the wall because I'm stuck right there.
No. It's where your attention is. So when you're drawing at this point, your focus is on enjoyment.
Yeah.
Your focus is on the process. But as soon as it's singing, which is a big deal for you, attention goes to the voices in your head. That's the difference between those two things. When you're drawing, the attention is not on the voices in your head. When you're singing, the attention is on voices in your head. It has nothing to do with drawing or singing. It has to do with...
Makes me not want to do the singing, though. Makes me not want to do it. Makes me want to go do the...
Well, you can go that route if you can go that route if you want. That's like people say, well, I've stopped making commitments because I get so beaten up for not keeping them. And my encouragement always is, well, give up the beatings. Don't give up the commitments. So you can quit singing if you want. But if you think that that's going to keep those voices from finding something else to torture you about,
No, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen to this again. Listen to this again, okay? Because what you'll hear me saying over and over and over is, it doesn't have anything to do with singing. It has to do with you're turning attention to those negative voices in your head. That's all that's going on.
Okay.
Okay?
I probably need to hear that a few hundred times. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
And then record about it.
Record
and
about it.
Remind yourself. Uh-huh. And keep your attention when you're singing, keep your attention on singing, not on the voices in your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
See you later. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Emily. Sherry and Emily, my computer is hanging, and so I'm actually not able to mute Emily. So Emily, just...
Oh, she'll be quiet. And if she is not, she'll be singing beautifully in the background, and we'll all enjoy that.
Well, actually, that brings us... That was such a fabulously clear articulation of what we're looking at and how the process works, which is if I'm in the process of enjoyment, I'm enjoying. If I'm in listening to a conversation, I'm not. And the confusion that we can be that we can fall into is that just because I can apply a process to one content, I should be able to apply the process to another content. But that what we don't see is exactly what you pointed out, that I should be able to apply this process to another content is also making it about the what. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's another how. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, because then I'll turn my attention to that conversation about how I should be able to apply it.
That's right.
And I'm not.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not in the process of enjoyment. We almost have to say it's not what, but how.
Yes, which I'm always fond of saying.
And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. So here's our assignment. It's actually 2 pages of the workbook, page 5 and 6.
Hmm.
And it's a reading. So read this, which is, in many of these exercises, your answers depend on who does the exercise. Some people describe this as playing different roles, wearing different hats, or following different scripts. We're different ways at different times with different people. For instance, if your boss said, there's something I need to talk to you about, you probably wouldn't respond that same way as if your best friend said the same thing. A different person dresses up and takes a date to the movies than the one who watches reruns on the couch in their pajamas. We use the word subpersonality to denote the various aspects of the personality, such as athlete, perfectionist, lover, daydreamer, mother's helper, gossip, critic, etc. We go in and out of these aspects constantly, and we have many common expressions that indicate the changes. I am not myself today. Part of me wants to go, but part of me doesn't. I'm going to put myself on a diet. Even an emotional response like anger or sadness will be different with each aspect. We find it helpful to give names to subpersonalities, gentle, loving names, even to the parts of the personality that seem not to serve us well. These exercises often ask you to name the part of yourself who, to help get a sense of the movement between various facets of yourself. So, the exercise is to draw a picture of yourself at work. Describe the qualities of this person.
And just a little underline for people. So anybody, lest anybody get confused about this, subpersonalities are not authenticity. Subpersonalities are not center. These are aspects of the personality. We could say they are aspects of ego.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and we'll see you all. See everybody tomorrow.
All right. Take care. Go happy.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.